Good morning. I'm always so excited when I get to start my ass off on a high note. So, but as we listen to the first reading, it's one of the most famous readings everybody should know. I would imagine you've heard it since you were a child. Dr. Scott Peck, who later became a Catholic, and he wrote years ago, I guess it's not as popular as it used to be, and when we were in college, everybody had to read the book, The Road Less Traveled. Anybody here ever read the book, The Road Less Traveled? Yeah, the older ones, of course, like me. Anyway, so we all had to read the book. Well, when Dr. Scott Peck was a teenager or grade school, when he was in religious ed class or a Protestant, or he heard the story of in the Bible, the first reading today, he decided that he would never be a God follower, or he would never be a believer in this God, because he thought any God that would sit there and ask you to sacrifice your son would not be a real God. And I would 1,000% agree with him. He's now Catholic, but that's all beside the point. But I would 1,000% agree with him if that was the end of the story. If this is all the God of the universe did, is he says, okay, now you got to sit there like all the, you know, this was something all the other gods did, gods, unquote, unquote, did in the thing to prove to God that you loved him, you had to give your firstborn son. This is all the pagan gods did this. And so Abraham was in the midst of all these pagan gods. And yet he was told by God, I want you to give your son. And so he thought, okay, you're just like all these other gods, huh? But Paul interprets it a different way. He says that Abraham believed that the God of life could bring Isaac back to life. So if he was going to take the promise, that God would bring that promise back to life. Abraham trusted God. But can you even imagine, you know, what would happen if someone, you know, you have a kid here and the kid comes to me and says, Father, yes, son, my dad told me God told him to kill me. What do you think I would do? I would have the guy arrested, huh? I would have that father, you nutcase, get out of here. What's the matter with you? God told you to kill your son. You know, same with them. And yet that's not the end of the story. Now you do realize that if you go next to our chapel, those of you who have been in our chapel, and hopefully everybody's been in a chapel at least once, as you walk over there, as soon as you come in, and on the right-hand side, which you really don't go to too often, there is a picture there. And that picture shows the significance between the Old Testament and the New Testament and this sacrifice of Isaac. Because again, Isaac probably was not a child. He could have been as old as 33 years old. And when he sat there and he's walking up the hill for the sacrifice, he has the wood of the sacrifice on his back, correct? And he sits there and he has the fire. And he looks at his dad and he says, hey dad, here's the wood for the sacrifice and here's the fire for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And how does Abraham answer Isaac? God himself will provide the lamb, huh? And so he takes the wood of the sacrifice up the hill. Again, we should all know the significance during Lent. He takes the wood of the sacrifice up the hill, and when he gets there, his father ties him up, and he willingly is going to lay down his life because he trusted his father who trusted God. And then we all know the story. Abraham goes to kill his son, and God the Father stops him and says, don't you dare lay a hand on that boy. I know you would withhold nothing from me. And think about just that. Let's stop right there for a second. That would we withhold anything from God? Is there anything in our life we would withhold from him? Because again, every day we're called to do the same thing spiritually, are we not? We're called to offer God our family spiritually. We're called to offer God ourselves spiritually. We're called to offer God our money spiritually. We're called to offer God our dreams spiritually. We're called every day of our lives to offer to God all of our dreams, all of our life, and trust him that even when things get dark, even when we don't understand what's happening, that he will make it right, as he did with Isaac. And then, of course, when you go into the New Testament, the very first thing that John proclaims Jesus is what? Behold, the Lamb of God.
So again, God himself provides the lamb. The very first thing to show the significance between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, that God himself provides the lamb. Now what that means, of course, is here's God the Father looking at Abraham, spiritually, if you will, and says, Abraham, stop. Don't you dare offer your son to me to prove your love for me. Abraham, I'll offer my son for you to prove my love for you. That means that God, the Father of the universe, gives everything for us. He offers everything for us, huh? You know, again, if we sit there and go back, as I was in Wellington this week and I was talking to these people, at every parish mission I ask the same thing. The very first night as I go through this thing and I talk about Isaac and different things, I say, so, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave him for you. So if we were to look at that, who does God the Father love more? Jesus or us? Us. He gives his son for you. He says, I love you so much that I will withhold nothing. I will give you everything that I love. And he gives us his son. And again, what a beautiful image here we have in our church, where here's God the Father sitting there offering his son on the cross for you and me, giving you and me everything to prove love. Here he goes. I have nothing left to give you. I'm giving you everything I have. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my son. And so this Lent, as we're sitting there doing all our things and we're complaining already because already I had to give up beer for Lent and it's only a week and a half into Lent and I want my beer already, and we're going through all of our stuff because I gave up all this hard stuff and oh, it's all about me and what I gave up for God for Lent. Lent is so hard. Or this can be a time of gratitude. And our Lenten sacrifices aren't sacrifices that focus on ourselves, but they're sacrifices of love. God, you who loved me and gave your son for me, God, I want to prove I love you by giving these things for love of you. And then our sacrifices become an act of love. And the focus then is on God and not on us. And that's the point. We're to forget about ourselves. You know, again, this week, every day I said to the people at that poor, poor mission, I says, and I also told them, I'm not sure how many more missions I'm going to do. I'm going to cut them down drastically because it's too much. But anyway, I sat there and says, Christianity is not about you. If you get this in your mind, if you finally get it, you're going to grow significantly. Christianity is not the focus on self, but the forgetfulness of self. That we forget about ourselves, and we start focusing on God, and we start focusing on others. So in Lent is the time where we learn to sacrifice ourselves so that we learn to forget about ourselves. But if it's not an act of love, then it means nothing. So whatever you're doing this Lent, when you're getting tired of it, when you're thinking, oh, this is so hard, stop just for a moment and say, God, I do this because I love you. I do this because I love you. This is my loving sacrifice for you. And watch how easy that sacrifice becomes, because it's no longer about you. It's about love for him. Got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen.